Let's talk about something that might be keeping you up at night. Cybersecurity. According to Vanta's latest State of Trust report, it's the number one concern for UK businesses. That's where Vanta comes in. Whether you're a startup, growing fast, or already established, Vanta can help you get ISO 27001 certified and more without the headaches. And Vanta allows your company to centralize security workflows, complete questionnaires up to 5 times faster, and proactively manage vendor risk to help your team not only get compliant, but stay compliant. Stop stressing over cybersecurity and start focusing on growing your business. For a limited time, our audience gets $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/wondery. That's vanta.com/wondery for $1,000 off. Because when it comes to your business, it's not just about keeping the lights on, it's about keeping everything secure.
When a young woman named Desiree vanishes without a trace, the trail leads to Kat Torres, a charismatic influencer with millions of followers. But behind the glamorous posts and inspirational quotes, a sinister truth unravels. Binge all episodes of Don't Cross Kat early and ad-free on Wondery Plus.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe so that way you always get your episodes. But enough of that, let's get right back into the episode.
Back in the living room, Wes and Lexi are talking, and she's like, you know what we need? He's like, to be murdered. That's how I feel right now. I'm so hungover. I'm wearing my hungover headband. It's like my hungover headband.
No, silly. We need electrolytes. Question, can we put lip liner on electrolytes?
Sierra is telling Carl outside that she's so over Emerald. Like, he brought another girl back last night and she just left. And he's like, dude, like, you're new here. Like, you come quite literally with a bang. So, like, oh, speak of the fucking devil. Here he is now. And Emerald comes. And all the guys are there now. I think most of the guys are there. Or at least Carl and Kyle have joined. So she could just go straight for it. She's like, what's going on? He says, how are you? And she's like, yeah, so we heard you having fun last night. So do you do like this? Are you like this in your own home? Because like, it's obnoxious at this point. It's like, whoa, okay. Those are some big guns.
He's like, well, I didn't even know you knew my name. I thought about that. You know, I'm like just trying to be, as Carl would say, mindful about, you know, not bringing someone back. And she goes, when did you have that thought? And when did you plan on executing that thought? Which was a great question. Great dual question. Because we saw, by the way, the day before, he had told the guys at like Kyle's party, like, yeah, I'm going to take a break this weekend. And then they laughed. He goes, yeah, probably not. Yeah. And then they like laugh, and then he's definitely going to bring someone home. So he's like already just, you know, spewing bullshit. And she's like, yeah, so I know that's like a nice thing to say, but when are you actually going to do the thing that you're saying right now?
Yeah. And he's like, listen, I'm just trying to have fun. And she says, well, I mean, it's a matter of like who you're bringing into this house. Like, this is crazy. And so he's like, wow, okay. Well, does anybody else feel that way? And this sucks for him because nobody's going to go up against Sierra. Right.
Yeah.
And because she's hot.
The guys are all quiet.
She's not, they know not to fuck with Sierra when, you know, she's not having it. So they just like sit there and kind of smile awkwardly. And they've been the ones kind of encouraging them this whole time, you know? Right. And I kind of feel for him because this is, to me, so obvious that he's just trying to gain approval with the other dudes. It's like, yeah, look, I'm like fucking someone else. I had a threesome. And they're like, yeah, he's a beast, right? Every time he comes home with someone, they're like, yeah, you fucking beast. He laid another one. And now when he's confronted, they're like, yeah, it's kind of gross. You know, they're looking to look like, yeah, totally on their side. So.
But it also feels like he's like not making bonds with other people in the house. And so he's like new and he's just like, doesn't care about like the late night bonding moments or whatever. He's just about getting some ass. So then Sierra's like, well, yeah, these are just my thoughts. And Carl's like, well, I mean, we've definitely never had the volume of visitors like this, I guess you could say.
Yeah, more like visitors with volume, actually, as well. Yeah. A lot of volume.
I don't care. They've really, you know, I guess they're closer the higher the hair, the closer to God. I think that's what they say. It's mindful. It's functional hair.
So Jesse says, you know, I think every once in a while it's fine, but like, you know, I mean, maybe an away game, maybe an away game could be good for you sometimes, you know?
And so he's like, okay, cool. And so then Emeril tells us, now Emeril is where he shares the tragic backstory to his man-whore ways. He's like, you know, I'm not sorry I brought one girl home if we were vibing, having a good time, but I'm not going to keep doing it if it's bothering everyone. You know, from ages 6 to 23, I was undocumented and I was in the shadows. So a big part of what I'm doing is just living a bit more freely, and it feels good. I want that to be part of who I am, but I want it to be everything that I am. The classic coming to America story. You work hard enough, you can sleep with anyone you want.
Got a green card, fuck 900 people. That's just how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You know, I was terrified every time I fucked somebody, they were going to ask for my driver's license. Mm-hmm. Every single time. But now I'm fucking everybody I see. I don't know. It's a weird connection. But I was glad, you know, I thought it was big of him to just kind of take it and be like, okay, I didn't know you felt like that. Now I know you feel like that, and I'll make a change. And it kind of made her look more like an asshole because she was like, no one's mad at you, bye. And he's like, okay, well, good talk. She's like, yeah, good talk. And, you know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, he does have a right to fuck. And calling him out in front of, you know, all the other dudes was not great. She has the right to do that too. I don't know. I kind of felt for him.
I didn't feel bad for him. And I felt neither way. I didn't feel like, oh, I feel so bad for him, or like, aha, got him. I just was like, okay, fine. Cause I do feel like, again, he's allowed to bring back whoever he wants. But I think that he is clearly lacking in prioritizing relationships in the house, which is why it's causing friction. And I thought that his excuse, that he was undocumented for so many years, so now he's going to have huge amounts of sex because he's going to live out loud. I was like, I don't know. That seems... I understand the idea of, like, you had to live in the shadows for so long, so now you're happy to live freely. But to me, I think then, like... Then adding him, and that's why I'm gonna have threesomes every weekend.
Yeah, you don't need to have a little bit of a stretch. You don't need to have like a big emotional excuse to want to fuck. You know, I think you're allowed. Just go fuck. Like, I don't need you bringing in like the trauma storyline for the reason that you need to fuck so many. Like that, I didn't like. But I think in general, you know, it is maybe sex shamey. I don't know. I feel weird saying that because it also is manners. But as far as his bonding with everybody else, we do see him. He opens up to people. Like, he tells them about his story. I think he's shared a lot of kind of intimate details with them. Maybe intimate is not the right word in this situation, but he's shared a lot of details with them. But I think you're right in the way that he's not bonding with them, because part of bonding with them is hanging out when you're drunk late at night.
Yeah.
And when he's drunk late at night, he's always fucking some rando. So he's missing that part of it. He's doing the hanging out sober and sharing the trauma, but he's not doing the, you know, falling down in the kitchen late at night watching Carl pee his name in the snow or what, or the grass.
I think what's interesting is this show has a really spotty track record of casting strong male characters. There have been a lot of men who've been cast on the show that like sort of come and go, and they like they're there and then you forget about them. There was Alex, there was Chris, there was the guy from season 2, there was Jordan. And a lot of times I think the guys that come onto the show bond with the other guys, but they struggle to connect with the women. And so if they can't connect with the women, they're here and then they're gone. They just don't last very long. I think, you know, the only successful male castings I think they've ever had have been Wes and Jesse and Luke. And then after that, like, they just can't seem to, because it's really hard to, like, I think men, there are a lot of men who have difficulty like hanging out with women. And so I think Emeril's just one of those guys that we're seeing to a certain extent, at least from what we see, because we can only go off of what the show presents to us. But Emeril kind of feels like another one of these one and done guys that comes through Summer House. Although Jordan got 2 seasons, but Jordan was also hilarious because he was a pathological liar.
Yeah. Remember when I fucked Judith Light on a bus? That was amazing. That was amazing. It was a tour bus. Yeah, she was touring with Dolly Parton at the time. She was, you know, she was incredible at making Lego structures. And the first time I saw her make a big cock Lego, I was like, you're my bitch, Judith. And so, you know, I let her finger me in the bus. And it was embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
But I'm still the number one guy on Hinge.
Paige's room. Sierra goes in and she's like, yeah, I just ripped into Emerald. I was like, do you have any type of standard? Like, okay, listen, you've dated Austin.
Yeah.
The end.
That's it.
Really.
That's like, it.
Literally the end.
That's it.
We can go you dated Austin in a period where Austin was grosser than he's ever been. Like, yeah, you fought for Austin. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you fought for Austin when he was at the most disgusting point he's ever been in on television. And that's saying something. Yeah. So.
Paige is like, literally, I have to focus on my breathing. Otherwise, I don't breathe. Like, watch.
Sierra's like, hold on, let me get your little pin. She, like, puts the little fingers up to her mouth, like, up to her nose. She's like, you can do this. You can do
that. Oh my God, that was the worst.
And Emerald, this is when Sierra says, breathing. Oh, sorry, what did you say?
Emerald made me stop breathing. Sorry, go on.
I stopped breathing. I stopped breathing because Emerald's a whore.
Nope. So what was Sierra say?
Sierra, this is when Sierra says, like, I can't stand that feeling. I hate when you're like this. I just hate it.
And they both are like crying together, and Paige is like, I'm just like nervous that Craig is gonna like forget on me and be like, you're such a fucking bitch, I just want to go home, and then he's gonna break up with me, and then I'll never have to go to Charleston anymore. Am I still crying? Because I actually kind of feel like I'm laughing now. Oh my God, I've never been happier at this thought.
Yeah, so she tells us again that she feels like Craig minimizes her line of work, and she doesn't want to ever speak up with him. And, you know, she used to feel like if they broke up, she would be villainized, and the public opinion would be that Craig is so much better off without her. Well, you know, that's why you need to choose Instagram over Facebook to read comments.
It's all yes. Also, it's a good idea to check in with your producers and find out which show is going to air first, because whichever show airs second is going to be the lasting impression. So guess what? Summer House is going to airs after Southern Charm. And so this is going to be the narrative that's going to stick with the public. So congratulations, Paige. You're going to wind up on top.
Yeah. And so she feels like if she gets on the public's bad side, she's going to lose everything. And then she's not going to have a career over Craig, which sucks to feel, but it's also not a cool reason to stay with somebody, you know. Yeah. Especially when he's like, oh my God, Paige and I are gonna be married in 10 minutes. You're like, oh my God, I don't want your fans to hate me, so I will lead you on until my tour is over.
Yes. Watching Paige is like thriving right now. She was just on Fallon this week. She's doing like Paige and Hannah did like the Vanity Fair red carpet for the Oscars. Like, they are killing it. And I think that Craig would have been an anvil tied to her ankle and would have just dragged her right down. And what's interesting with this is that this is obviously shot last summer, and that's when Southern Charm was shot too. And there's no indication from Craig that this relationship is going through the shitter. But we see that Paige is like struggling here, like really struggling. So for people who thought that Paige was just being callous or just like dumped him or whatever, you see that she is like, she is going through it. And you see now like everything that we picked up on the Southern Charm recaps with her and like looking at the bees and coming down to Charleston, you can, now we're seeing what she's really going through. And I guess what I'm trying to get to on this is that, like, I guess anyone who thinks that Paige is like, you know, was so mean to Craig, like, you can see that this was not just some calculated, callous thing. It's that she really felt trapped.
Well, yeah, but it also is illustrating that she clearly wanted out in like by July. And she clearly says here, like, I just want to pretend this isn't happening till after tour because I don't want to have to deal with the public, basically. And so she kind of leads him on for a good half a year, because, and that's not really cool either. And then we see Craig just also being completely delusional, because she has been honest with him about what she's feeling. And Craig just is like, nope, I'm hearing exactly what I want to hear. What she's saying is she doesn't want to get married before tour, but after tour, she totally wants to get married. Like, he's taking it in his own delusional Craig way.
He is. But I don't see her as leading him on. What I see it as, because to me, leading on is almost a little bit more malicious or a little bit more premeditated. I see it as that she's just avoidant, and which could be interpreted as on his end of feeling led on. But I think she just is like, oh God, this is gonna be tough and annoying, and everything in my life is so good right now, I just don't feel like dealing like with shit at this moment. Let me wait until the time when everyone loves to deal with heavy, shitty, emotional things, the holidays.
Yeah, and it's also show timing, which is what you're talking about. Like, if she breaks up with him in the middle of Southern Charm shooting, then she's going to have to really deal with the whole Craig victim storyline on his show and villainizing her the whole time on his show. When yeah. she's like, well, I could just kind of wait for all that to pass.
Like, let's wait till the cameras are down.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe leading on isn't the right word, but I don't think that this... She clearly wants to break up with Craig.
Yeah.
And she's clearly saying she's going to put it off until she's... not having to deal with the public outrage. So I don't know that that's totally bad on her. I'm not even really judging it, believe it or not. I know I'm a judgy bitch, but I'm not really even judging like fuck her or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, she's not like some little angel either, you know. And I think in the whole Paige and Craig thing, it's you have to choose a side, right? Because it's somebody breaking up, and especially on Bravo, so you're like, someone had to villainize the other person. And I think these two are just like clearly incompatible for so long, and it was good for TV for a long time, and they knew that they had the public support and all of that, and that makes it more acceptable to be in something when you know it's not. When you're like the Bravo couple of the darling couple of Bravo, then it's easier to stay in something even when you personally know it's not right. So
we always knew the logistics of this. Yeah, the logistics of this were never going to work out. They were like 85% there, but like that last 15%, maybe even 90%, that last 10%, like it's not nothing, and you just can't get by it. And I think that ultimately they were able to look past the long distance thing or whatever, but eventually it's just, you can't keep kicking that can down the road. And whatever other thoughts I had on this, I've forgotten because I had a few
more
bullet
points.
I'm
sure we'll go into another half an hour discussion that people desperately need at this point, months.
You know what I'm really glad at? I'm really glad that after all this time, we finally got to talk about Paige and Craig.
It is nice.
It's nice to
finally
get
that
dive
off our chest. It nice is interesting really how it changes it a little every time. I feel like Paige is very private about what she's actually feeling. Like, she's very good at curating what she decides to put on camera. And she's been very good with Craig and teaching him how to do it. Because Craig was a goddamn mess before he met her on TV. I mean, he was failing left and right. And so I think she's very carefully curated. So it's interesting to watch Paige slowly reveal more and more, you know, because she hasn't revealed any of this before. Like, the breakup's happening. We've suspected it, or like I've said, I've suspected stuff like this before, but she's never really said it. So I think it is interesting. You know, it's new information. Okay.
It's really cool seeing this like breakup from like two different shows on two different perspectives. Like, I think that's actually, it's low key, like very fascinating what's happening with this relationship on Bravo. Like, that's something that Scandoval did not give us. Scandoval was riveting because we saw where this situation was heading to, and we got to see an entire season of, like, you know, Tom Sandoval's fakery, and you're like, oh my God, all the signs are there. But in this case, it's more like, wow, how cool to see a relationship fall apart from literally two different perspectives on reality TV.
Yeah. So then...
Hashtag blessed. Just like Russian sci-fi, am I right?
So she says, yeah, it's just a lot. And now I'm supposed to get my period today. I mean, come on.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Some people get a wild haircut or book a spontaneous trip when life throws them a curveball. But Molly? Well, she dove headfirst into a world of no strings attached sex, secret rendezvous, forbidden affairs, and unforgettable adventures. And together, we tell every juicy detail in Dying for Sex, Wondery's award-winning podcast that's now streaming on a TV near you, starring Michelle Williams and Jenny Slate. And to top it off, we're dropping brand new bonus episodes where I sit down with the cast to spill all the spicy secrets. Desire, friendship, self-discovery, and the ultimate bucket list of pleasure. This is a story that had everyone talking. Listen to the original Dying for Sex and brand new episodes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge the original series before anyone else and completely ad-free on Wondery Plus.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Everyone has that friend who seems kind of perfect. For Patty, that friend was Desiree. Until one day,
I texted her and she was not getting the text. So I went to Instagram. She has no Instagram anymore. And Facebook, no Facebook anymore.
Desiree was gone. And there was one person who knew the answer.
I am a spiritual person, a magical person, a witch.
A gorgeous Brazilian influencer called Kat Torres, but who was hiding a secret. From Wondery, based on my smash hit podcast from Brazil, comes a new series, Don't Cross Kat, about a search that led me to a mystery in a Texas suburb.
I'm calling to check on the two missing Brazilian girls.
Maybe get some undercover crew there.
The family are freaking out. They are lost.
I'm Chico Feliti. You can listen to Don't Cross Kat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So then time for brunch, and Amanda's really done the table nice. She's made nice food. And Lindsay comes in a little sash they gave her. It's like, oh my God, birthday girl of the birthday. And so the producer says, Lindsay, is this where you thought you'd be at 38? It's like, wow. No.
That laugh that she gave was so intense and so scary. She's like, I was like, oh my God.
This whole section was so Lindsay. And they're like, well, you know, and she goes, no, I think that timeline ended when I was like 36. And we see the timeline that she wrote where she's like, in 1 year, I'm going to be engaged to Stravi. And the next year, I'm going to have babies. And then the next year, we're going to build a house with babies. And the next year, we're going to build a house of babies. And that's the whole thing. And she's like, yeah, I'm only made one list and you guys are never going to let me forget it.
And then they show four lists and they literally say list number one, list number two, list number three. So they sing happy birthday to her. You know, Paige and Ciara are like, crash the whole song. And then Lindsay's like, Amanda,
sing thank you so much. Guys, I don't think she can hear the words.
She's got cue cards written on.
It's like, Lindsay, this is what we're singing to you. Happy birthday. Can you read this?
Does anyone have an old jazz standard we can put on to make her happy?
So Lindsay's like, thank you so much for preparing this beautiful breakfast with like black French toast. It's beautiful.
And then we see West. West is, he's hungover, so he's struggling there at the table. And, you know, it's funny.
They ask Lindsay if Turner's going to take her somewhere. And she goes, yeah, he like planned it like a month and a half ago because that's like how he is. Like, he's really fancy, you guys. And she just says it casually. But then it cuts to Carl being like,
I guess I'm not fancy. I guess Lindsay's saying I'm not fancy right now. I wish he'd said that softer.
Lil says I'm really fancy. So then Lindsay's like,
yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what Turner does because, like, I don't want to say I judge a guy based on how they treat my birthday, but, like, I kind of judge a guy based on how they treat my birthday and, like, any small moments I have with him, I'm, like, good with.
And then we see a flashback to Stravi when he did that whole, like, that whole birthday thing in the backyard and got her, like, fish and chips that were just, like, cold and now, like, the coating had gone soft. And she's like,
this is beautiful. Thank you.
She's like, thank you. All mad, eating a fry, all pissed off. But didn't he also give her that painting that year? Or was that a different guy? Didn't he give her a painting? Like, he had a painting commissioned of her, and she was like, ew, a painting? Gross. Who paints when we have pictures?
It was a all-around failure on Stravi's part.
I remember being pissed at Lindsay for that. I was like, a man got you a painting commissioned of you. That's huge. I'm like, that's amazing. I mean, to say somebody didn't put thought into something when they had a whole fucking painting done of you, that was just crazy. And she's like, I would get a helicopter for me. That's what I would do.
Stravian's little desk where he like sat on the crate and the only shot that they had of him was like through a mirror in the corner of the room. Oh, those were the days.
So Jesse's like, so how do you feel about your birthday next year with the wee one? Are you going to like bring it here? Are we going to have like a baby in the house? Are we going to baby? And Wes just looks terrified. He's like, please, no.
I don't know if I trust you all with my baby, actually.
And you just know Danielle's going to be come back as the nanny next season. She's like, I'm here. I'm ready. I just got off the train. I'm ready to take care of the baby however you need me.
Me and the baby are in Club Send It. What? The baby's trying to cry. Out of Club Send It. I can't even keep a baby here.
The baby's like,
rosé all day. Wah, wah.
They're all joking about babysitting and things like that, and Wes is horrified. And in the foyer, now Wes is like lying on that bench in the foyer, just he's so hungover, and Paige brings her roller down the stairs like bong 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 ba bong ba bong. Oh, sorry. I know you're really hungover, and I know this is really loud for you, so apologies. Oh, wait a second. I think I left something at the top of my stairs. Gotta bring my bag with me.
He's like, it probably would have been more comfortable if you just dropped the bag down onto my head, Paige. Don't tempt me.
Yeah.
Like, don't even give me the option, West.
Let's try it out.
Lexi's bedroom. Jesse comes in and he's like, oh yeah, just getting ready for a little Shabbat action in the car. Hope you're ready for it. So he's like, lay one on me, baby. And so he says, I don't like fighting with you. And she's like,
I was not fighting. You were fighting. You were like, I love you. Remember when you said that?
He's like, yeah, I was drunk and sleepy and you were like, tell me you love me.
No.
He's such Jesse, a liar.
Yeah, he is a liar.
Jesse always tells me he loves me, like, all the time. And I'm like, but, like, not in front of other people. So, like, Jesse's been, like, telling me that for, like, a long time, but, like, only in private.
Yeah, she goes, yeah, he's been saying I love you for a long time. It is week four, Lexi. It is week four. So, the producer asks how long they were together before he said it. And she's like,
11 days.
So did you know each other 11 days or were you together 11 days? Because I don't know. I don't know how she does her math, but I don't know why it matters. But she's like, it's been a long time. But if it was 11 days after you started getting together, that would have been, and week two, you guys committed, right? And it's week four. So if it was 11 days, then it's been 3 days that he's been telling you. You see what I'm getting at? Like, I just don't understand this girl. I don't get her. So then she's like, yeah, like, obviously, like, I love him saying I love you. But, like, right now, I'm just, like, trying to speed up, like, how I'm feeling, too, you know, to meet him, like, where he's at and just seeing where, like, everything kind of goes. I just want to see where everything goes.
So she's like, yeah, you said like, because you were like, it hurts me. And he's like, it's true. Like, it's like blue balls for love. Like, it's emotional blue balls. Like, there's no release. I just like love you so much. So everyone says bye. And everyone goes back to the city. We get Trixie Monocle being like, I'm gonna do it. Make it bigger. Better than ever before. Ooh, 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 ooh. I'm
gonna do it. So now we're having coffee at Coffee Roma with Lexi, who's a model, the Chiron tells us. And she's with her mom and her sister, Tiffany. And then,
lip liner convention. Yeah, this is really like a showcase for, it's like, you know, when you go into like Macy's or something and you walk by like the cosmetics area and like, there's always someone who's like trying to give like free, like do the makeup thing and everything. And they just, their face is like, they've been there all day, so they've got nothing to do but add more and more makeup to their face. So by like 3 p.m., they just look like they're doing like, they're like an anchor person for like the Clown Network.
Yes. My best friend used to work at Saks. She was a makeup person. It's Aileen. She used to be a makeup person at Saks. Sometimes I would come in there and I was like, what are you in toddlers and tiaras? What are you doing?
Are you about to do synchronized swimming? Why is there so much makeup on your face right now?
You don't have to wear it all. She's like, but it's all free. It's all here. I can try anything.
So Lexi is saying how like her sister's moved into her two-bedroom apartment, of course. And then her mom is also always visiting. And because it's important to keep the team together because they have to go to like meetings and stuff and make sure like everything is all right.
I mean, you're a model like me. You need like a team, and you need a team around you at all times. So my sister's there, and then my mom's there, and it's like all of us. Like, I don't even know where we sleep, because like my sister has a room, but then my mom doesn't have a room, but we all end up in the same bed anyway.
Here's where you all need to end up. The same hairdresser, and you all need to, you need to get your mother and your sister's hair fixed, because they both look like frizzy frazzy home bleached. What are you letting, why are you letting your team walk around like that? I get that they only come to New York sometimes, but do they have to go to Fantastic Sam's before they come? New York has salons. Fix their hair, you basic bees. And then they're all like, oh my god, espresso martinis. Oh my god, you guys are so basic.
I know, everything
were they out of Cosmopolitans?
It was so embarrassing. Oh my god. They're like, just three girls. So then Lexi's mom was like, oh my god, I remember when I had to drop, I remember dropping you off in New York City. I left you off at that model apartment and I just felt so hopeless. And I drove home and I thought, my girl is in a model apartment. How am I ever going to nail?
It's like, we would FaceTime you every day. I remember that, honey. We'd FaceTime you and I would just sob and be like, honey, put on more lip liner, please. Put on more lip liner. Do it for me.
And then they all start crying. She's like, I'm crying now. And Lexi's like, oh my god, mom, now you're going to make me cry. And then Tiffany's like, I'm crying too. And she's not. But she's holding a napkin to her tear like she is. I make fun of these people a lot. I love Tiffany now. She is so crazy faced. And also, they seem legit like they love each other, which I think is nice.
I have to say, I agree. When she told the story about how like they like they're in the same apartment, but they just wind up in the same bed together, I was like rolling my eyes. But secretly, I was also kind of like, that's actually adorable.
Yeah, because you expect when you see a character like Tiffany, you know, Tiffany, like she didn't get the same money to do her hair, her makeup, her clothes, or her face. And she looks crazy, and she's like got that big smile where she's like, oh, I'm Tiffany. And you just, I assumed that she was going to be that bitter sister who's like has to work for the model, and you know, they live off the model. And she, part of her wants that sister to die. Like, that's the kind of energy I like, you know, where she's like, I work for my sister, she's a fat bitch, isn't she? But it's not, she's actually really loves her sister, and like they want to support the sister. It's weird,
I know. Don't forget, they're Canadian. That means they're just very nice people. They're very nice. And the sister, Tiffany, is hilarious to me. I mean, I really like that when she puts on her makeup every day, she's like, you know what, today, I want this makeup to make me look like the FAO Schwartz clock. And she does it, and she succeeds every time.
I want to look like the anime version of Tom Hanks in that weird movie about the train.
Anime, not Polar anime, Express.
But what is it? What is it called?
CGI?
Polar Express? Yeah, whatever.
Polar Express.
Yeah. I want to look like CGI Tom Hanks. Okay, but okay, yeah, so Tiffany, it's just so funny that mom's like, we're crying now, Tiffany. She's like, oh yeah, I'm crying too.
The family that cries together puts on lip liner together. So now we go to the American Cancer Society at Hope. We're going to the Hope Lodge, where Jesse is putting on an event for Hope Lodge. Hope Lodge is a place where people can stay for free if they're getting cancer treatments in New York City, because it's really expensive to stay in New York City. So it's
how
a really
many
good
people
cause
are going to see this show and try and pull a cancer card? You know they are, because it's so expensive to stay there. I was like,
aww. I know. I also think it's just
a nice
so
place,
funny,
actually. And you get cookies with dinner.
It is really nice. And it's a great counterpoint to Summer House, which I often call the Hopeless Lodge. So it's nice to see the real one, the positive one.
Jesse gives us this thing. It's this charity thing for the year. So he's like, yeah, you know, Hope Lodge, I had cancer, I'm helping out. You know, it's good to give back. So the friends are all coming to support him. And that's nice. And Lindsay's there. And she's like, what can I help with? Lemonade? Can I help with lemonade? And she's the only one who actually looks like she works there for some reason. Because she's got that full-on apron on. And she's, I guess maybe because she's pregnant too. And she's like,
what do you want?
But also, like, Lindsay helping out, she goes, okay, I'm going to help out. I'm going to serve this lemonade. And there's, like, a little pitcher of lemonade. She just takes a spoon and swirls it. I was like, great effort there, Lindsay. You really chose the hardest task you could do for this charity, putting a spoon in a pitcher and swirling it.
And Sierra says, this is the most wholesome thing we've ever done. Like, good for us. We need to do more. I'm not going to, but we should. I hope you guys don't mind. I'm just going to put all the contents of my purse on top of this buffet. Pours it all over the place.
So Jesse makes a nice little speech about his journey and how the perspective he got from going through cancer, which is very nice. And there's a lady who's crying. It's a nice moment. And then afterwards, Sierra's talking to Carl about Montauk. And Sierra's saying, Carl's like, so I met a cute girl there in Montauk. And we just had like a lot of fun. And it felt good to get back in the saddle, learn how to date again. And yeah, we had a sleepover and finally broke the streak. See where it goes. So basically he had sex, which is fine. But like he just... Here's why I got annoyed, because Carl is acting like all these things that he's done like for the past, you know, 15 to 20 years of his life, probably 20 to 25 years of his life. He's acting like, oh my God, how do I do it again? When he was only off the market for like 18 months and he's like, oh, guys, I had sex again. I did it. But like, you know, in that moment, he wasn't like, oh, treat me carefully. He was just like, yeah, let's fuck, you know, because, you know, because the cameras weren't there. I really believe. They went on a date and they had sex. But he's like, guys, I got past my intimacy issues and I finally made love to a woman. Softly.
Well, sober sex is different, I will say. Especially if you've only had non-sober sex, you're like, oh God, I have to do this sober? That's very different. So maybe it's that. He makes it sound like it's all Lindsay, but I think it's partly that too. You know, you have to relearn it when you're not fucked up. So, but yeah, he is like, oh my God, you guys, I finally gotten to that point where I could stick my wiener in something. They're like, oh my God, Carl, you deserve your own parade. And so then Jesse and Sierra are joking around and she kind of jokingly grabs his arm. She's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, Sierra, enough with the touching. Come on.
And she's like, ha, ha, ha. Wait, really? She has to look like, are you serious right now? He goes, yeah, because I'm the one who got yelled at last time. I'm like, you're so gross. Like, that's such a, like, what, like, you don't have to make her feel shitty because of your actions. And so she's like, sorry, okay. So then she's like, no. He's like, yeah, stay watch. Like, no. And she's basically like, yeah, last time I checked, you were the one who was touching me, right?
Because he's doing it so big. That he's clearly doing it so Lexi will see him. You know, he's trying to do something like performative for Lexi. And then later he can be like, Lexi, you know, Sierra was all over me and I put a stop to it. I just want you to know, babe.
Yeah. He's going to villainize Sierra when it was like not flirty at all. And she's not interested in him that way, you know?
Yeah.
So now we go to a place called the Glass Ceiling Rooftop, where Paige, Amanda, and Sierra gather and spend a lot of time ordering food in a disorganized way.
I'll have a soda. I'll have a soda too, and also a water, and also some wings. Can I not have the soda? And you know what? Scratch the wings. I'll have celery sticks instead. Can I have the wings instead? And can I have another soda with that as well? And then, you know what? I will have the wings after all. So, well, wings, no celery sticks. Hold the celery sticks and add a burger to that. No burger for me, though.
Sorry, I have anxiety. Sierra says, so this weekend, we both shoot out Emerald.
Well, I didn't. I was basically like, are you keeping track? Like, why not save for, like, all the other days of the week? Like, do you only fuck when I'm in the house trying to get sleep? Are you only fucking people when I have anxiety? What is it?
Well, what's going on with Craig? Well, he came over and he asked how long, like, things are going to be like this, you know, with the tour and everything. And I was like, look, you are so valid in your feelings. They may be very dumb and very stupid, but you're valid, I guess. Not really. I mean, not in my eyes, you're not valid, but to yourself, you're valid. And that, I guess that matters. But like when you say it like that, like you're sort of also disregarding, like, I'm not doing giggly squad things and you're like not. And like, that's not cool. That make me feel bad about that.
You're valid in having feelings, even when they're stupid feelings. So I just want you to know that. Okay.
Like, oh, Paige, oh my God, you're so nice. And Craig basically said, you know, she said, I feel kind of like you're disregarding my feelings, you know, like you're disregarding what I'm doing with your feelings. And she says that he said he understands that she feels undermined, but I just want to make sure that, like, you have time for me, you know, because I miss you.
Yeah, well, anything I'm feeling, I don't have the bandwidth to deal with until after the tour. Like, I feel so weak for even saying that I have feelings because, like, but, you know, gross. But, you know, I do. Ew. And I just feel guilty because, you know, now I've said all that stuff on camera that I said to Sierra last week, and I just feel terrible.
So Sierra's like, well, guys, want to hear about this bullshit? So it was like having a, you know, the charity event was like really nice. It was really sweet. But then I'm like cracking a joke with Jesse and I touch his arm and he's like, don't touch me. And I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, because I'm the one who gets yelled at. And I was like, he got yelled at. I'm so jealous. And Sierra's like, yeah, it'd be different if I was making out with him. But like, ugh, gross.
Oh, no, but, like, he's the one who showed up at our party being like, if I didn't show up late last year, then who knows? Maybe I could have dated you. That is crazy. By the way, can I have some more water? I mean, iced tea. Actually, make it a Diet Coke. Do you have salmon that you could put inside of it? I'm just kidding. Don't do that. Bring me whatever you want. Don't bring me the wrong thing.
So Sierra, this is where Sierra's like, well, he has some nerve saying that, because then we see the montage of how handsy Jesse is. And Sierra's like,
wait a minute, could you show me that clip again? Okay, I see him getting on top of you. I see two of your arms kind of pushing him off, but then I see a third arm coming around and poking him in the head. Sierra, do you have three arms?
She's like, no. What are you talking about?
Okay, must be in my imagination.
Wow, that's some real Russian sci-fi shit right there. So
Sierra's basically like, yet? Don't you mean yet?
Sierra's like, I'm like, honestly, Jesse, like, don't come in my room. Don't even come around me. You know how I am. So if you really want to play that game, your feelings will be hurt at the end of the day because I won't even look at you. I'm like, uh-oh. Sierra's going into ice queen mode with Jesse and he will not be able to deal with it whatsoever.
Yeah, and she has a good point because she's like, he's going to come for me for touching him. And then they show him last week, like, crawling on top of her, or 2 weeks ago, crawling on top of her on the pool thing. I mean, like, you're a 10 and all of that stuff. So then we see next week, guys, I was so afraid we weren't going to have any more weak-willed, wishy-washy, wussy men coming. But here's Schwartz. He's like, hi, guys, it's me, Schwartz.
He's making his rounds. After his appearance on The Valley, now he will be on Summer House. And maybe the week after that, maybe he'll show up on, like, I don't know, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Who knows?
Yep. So then we also get a confrontation with Lexi and Jesse where she's like,
I heard from my mom who heard from my sister who told me to my face in bed that you've been shit talking me and you've been saying like I'm a crazy jealous girl and stuff like that. How dare you? I have a recording of it because I put a recording device in your kitchen. Not sorry.
Dump him. Dump him right now. Ew, gross. Dump him. Do it. Do it. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
Paige is like, if you're not fully in this, you should walk away. Wait, where did Lexi go? I saw a beam of light and then she was gone.
Dun, dun.
Wow. What a commentary on Stalinist policies.
Don't criticize the government, am I right? The government's Craig. Boop. Spoiler alert. Craig is communism.
Okay. Anyway, thanks everyone for being here. What a fun summer house. We'll be back next week. We'll have Top Chef on Monday, as well as our entire slate of shows. So looking forward to that, and we will catch you on the next episode. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt. Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Ringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry. We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches,
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen. It's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A. It's Kelly B.
We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.